Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Saints, though, ready for the Cardinals. Steve Court, our friend, former Saints offensive lineman, joins us. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you high and dry?
Always.
Tell me about the Cardinals. What do you see when you watch a Cardinals team?
I see a team that struggles from time to time. Now, I know they've won their last three, but they're not. They defensively, they really are. They can't really stop anybody. They're not these stalwart defenses that we've seen in the past. But look, they've got a couple of guys that are still pretty good guys that can rush the passer, and Terrell Suggs. We've known him from Baltimore, and then also this Jones, who leads the league in sacks, by the way. But look, these guys can, if you're not ready for them, that's like anything else. And I'm minimizing that. You're going to get beat. Now, offensively, Kyler Murray's a guy that we're going to have to keep him in the pocket. There's no question, because he can hurt you bad with what he does with his feet. So. They still got obviously some tools, and they kind of rely on some of the big play. David Johnson's still a real formidable back that we have to take care of. But, first and foremost, they're going to try to run the football on us, and I think that they're in for a long day with us. Yeah.
If I were to give you a choice, I'm going to make you general manager of the Omaha Omelets, whatever the name of the team is. And you have your choice of Russell Wilson or the Arizona quarterback. Who are you picking?
Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of experience? Because they're both about the same size, right, Steve?
Russell Wilson's a bigger, thicker kind of a guy. But yeah, he's not real. They're both kind of vertically challenged. If that's what you're trying to get to?
Well, no.
They're not big, tall,
Steve,
rangy quarterbacks or anything, but yeah.
Let's face it, they're 5'10". That towers over me, so I understand what you're saying. But what I mean is, in terms of trying to contain them and don't let them get outside, and the responsibility to defensive ends, et cetera, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that, you could say that maybe you could draw some similarities to the way they play, but I certainly think that the way Russell Wilson has played for the past couple of years, you watch him and it's like, man, this guy is a really, really good player.
Yeah.
And not to say that Kyler Murray's not going to be. Kyler Murray at this point is a really, really good athlete. Okay. But I don't think he's really able to, he hasn't refined his quarterback skills enough to be where I would compare him to Russell Wilson.
So would it be an appropriate and effective defensive strategy to say, all right, we're going to make you beat us throwing the ball?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly what you try to do. I think, if we let them run the football on us, like inning, I don't care who it is, if they can establish a run game on you, you're going to have a long afternoon. So, I first and foremost, the way our defense is playing, I think they shut that down. But, first and foremost, they're going to have to play some pretty gap control, if you will, disciplined defense, because they can't let him get outside and let him do his thing with his feet, because that's where – that's where he can hurt you, and that's where they can stay on the field. We need to win on first down, and if we do that, it forces them to do those types of things.
All right, if you have any questions or comments for Steve Court, we would love to entertain them. And you can text them to 87870, and I'll ask the big guy, who is not, by the way, vertically challenged, your question as it relates to the Cardinals and the Saints. Tommy Tucker, WWL 916, back with more from Steve Court as we look at the Saints' offense. And in case you've not noticed, Drew Brees has been in the conversation lately. Back in a little bit. 922, boys are back in town Sunday. Black and gold battling the Arizona Cardinals in a Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We got wall-to-wall coverage for you. Saints coverage starting at 8 a.m. with the Acadian Windows Fans First Take with former Saints offensive lineman Steve Court and Todd Manessis live from the Bullseye Event Group Saints VIP tailgate at Benson Tower. Time to check in from your tailgate party. Then at 10 o'clock, join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff at the Superdome between gates A and B. Game time's noon with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strieff, color analyst Deuce McAllister, and Steve Geller on the sideline. And after the game, you can sound off on the point after at Fat Boys Pizza on Metairie Road with the Cajun Cannon and Christian until 6 p.m. Sunday, Saints Cardinals on WWL. Remember the Saints fan tradition. Turn down the sound on that TV and sync up to Saints Radio. Follow the game with the pros you know, the black and gold best. Also note, you can also stream Saints games on your desktop or laptop. So be aware of that. Steve Court, the aforementioned co-host of Fans First Take, is with us. Steve, somebody texted about Alvin Kamara and how important is it that he plays? And secondly, if he does, do you tell Latavius Murray, thanks, see you later on down the line in the season? How do you keep Latavius Murray productive, I guess, because he seems like the kind of guy that, man, he just loves to carry it. And the more he does, the better he gets.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Alvin Kamara is obviously a huge asset to us in a lot of our offense. When he's healthy, runs through him as well as he should, because of the way that not only he runs the football, but the way he catches the ball and provides other things for us. But, you know, Latavius Murray, you can't just run Alvin to death. Right. So you have to have him there anyway. And I think what you do is you, you know, this is why it's great that the teams that always end up being pretty good there at the end are the ones that have either the depth or have survived, you know, obviously the injury issues or guys get nicked during the season as that comes on. So the depth part of it, we saw how valuable it was in this past couple of weeks by using Latavius when Apple was out this past week anyway. And look, he's like any back. The more rhythm they get and the more carries they get and touches, they get into that kind of a rhythm and flow and ebbs and flows of the game, and they're more effective. But like anything else, I don't think that's just one of the things you have to accept as a player in this league and as a running back and as a kind of a platoon type of a football team, where there's going to be guys rotating in and out. And I think they continue to do what they would normally do by using him from time to time and spot playing him and putting him in the backfield at the same time. I mean, there's so many different things and configurations offensively you can use both those backs in. I wouldn't worry about that.
Alvin Kamara is such a freak, and I don't think that's too strong of a word. Do you?
He's definitely different. His
I
know you did it, and I agree with you. It's he does some things that I have never seen backs do before, as far as balance and the things that he's able to do. I've seen him take those full hits, and he's like, his feet never leave the ground. I'm always amazed by that, and I've always been amazed by that. I saw him when he was playing at Tennessee, and I kept on saying, man, this guy is really good. And I don't ever hear about this guy, you know. And then I kind of looked up and found out that, he'd been, you know, at Alabama. And then, of course, he was behind, you know, Mark Ingram and all these different guys. He's thinking, hey, I want to get some playing time, so let me go someplace else. And they allowed him to go to Tennessee. And then we were fortunate enough to be able to get him in the third round, which I was still shocked about. I still was shocked about that when we picked him. I thought that he'd already gone in the second round somewhere. And then we got him, I'm thinking, wait, this is the best pick I've seen in quite some time. So, and obviously it's come to fruition.
I'm trying to remember if Kamara really is a guy, because he is a freak that has to get a lot of carries to be in the groove, because it seems like you just put him in whenever you want. He's going to perform magic, I guess. Steve, have you noticed, is he, in addition to being a freak, in other words, that he's kind of, in other ways, that he's the kind of back that doesn't really have to have carry after carry after carry to get into it?
Well, his level of game, he knows that there's certain things that he has to do, and what he does, he takes advantage of the opportunities that they put him in at. Mm-hmm. And so when they ask him to do things, either whether, you know, he's running a bubble screen or like some sort of a swing route or, you know, an out route or something like that, or they're wide, you know, line him up in a, you know, wide out spot, you know, at the Z or something, he's able to to run those things pretty. Look, he's our second receiver, you know, as far as touches, you know, other than Michael Thomas. I mean, I think it's, you know, second most looks. So, and for very good reason, because we know that we get the ball in his hand, think great things happen. But he's also a guy that if you'll notice, when he knows he's he's extremely smart, and he knows that if he's in a situation where all he's going to do is suffer some sort of not suffer but you know, absorb a bunch of different unnecessary hits, he just slowly checks it out of bounds real quick. And I'm thinking, man, that's so smart, because he's saving himself, and he realized that why in the world would I go ahead and try to get maybe one more yard, maybe not, and take three tackles at the same time, and, you know, get driven into the ground and all those types of things. That that's where you end up getting hurt. And he just kind of checks it out of bounds and lives to fight another day.
It would seem like you would start as a running back with X amount of hits, and then every time you take one, the number diminishes, right, till you're out.
Yeah, it slowly takes one away from you.
So why not avoid it and keep one in the bank when you're not going to pick up any additional yardage winning?
That's right.
Anyway, in case you've not heard, Steve, people have been talking about Drew Brees.
No kidding.
Yeah, uh-huh. Something about a thumb injury or something. As a center, there ain't but one way to snap the ball, right? I mean, you can't gently, if he's under center, you can't gently snap him the ball. There's no way to do that, right?
No.
I don't know how you could.
No.
Yeah. So.
No. Now, hey, look, his right hand is on the top, okay? So it's against McCoy's butt, to make it perfectly candid.
Well, and a little bit more than that, but we can let it go at that.
Yeah. And, we'll just figure out that. And then when that ball, is snapped, his thumb won't be exposed to where it's going to get bent back or anything. It's not like it's hanging down there to where it's going to get jammed or anything like that. That's, if anything, it'll be end up being his left hand that would sort of get that, but, and it's not. So, yeah, it's sort of up to Eric to sort of make sure that he just gets a snap up there like he normally does, and make sure it's a nice firm snap and hits the palm of his hand with it, and everything should be fine, because, you know, you never want to snap it short or get in a hurry to where you're kind of, you know, making the quarterback grab the ball. And that would be the only reason I would see that he would have any kind of a problem with a snap. But I, since we're talking about Drew Brees, look, I think that any time that you have a guy that is a veteran quarterback like that, or even a veteran player at any point, and he's trying to come back from some type of an injury like this, you have to take his input on it pretty seriously, because especially Drew Brees in this situation. Okay, I know you can look at him. He looks like when he's on the sideline, he's having to sit out this. He's not liking it. Okay,
no.
It's driving him out of his mind, and I know he's thinking, man, this is going to kill me if I have to stay out much longer. I know that.
He looks like he needs some medication, Steve.
Yeah, exactly, and I know what that feels like, because you're just itching to get back out there, and everything feels good. You're ready to go, but it's just not quite ready yet. But you feel like you could get it done, and so now that there'll be a meeting of the minds, and they've practiced him all week. Again, I've only seen what everybody else has seen, kind of. More sort of spotty coverage of it, and for good reason. Look, I don't want to tip my hand to the opponent at any point whatsoever. And why let them, have the knowledge of either him playing or not playing? You know, so I sort of keep that out there. Not that the gamesmanship of it is that important in this scenario, but look, if he's ready to play, then there's no reason why in the world he shouldn't play at all. If he's not, and if there's any second guesses about it, where some people are really, got their thinking, man, I don't know, or it's a combination of the doctors or whatever, saying, I'm not sure about that. Well, then maybe they've got to talk about something else. But ultimately, it's going to come down to Sean Payton, because he's the head guy. And he's going to basically say, look, this is, Drew tells me he's ready. I've watched him, and I feel like he's ready. I've watched him, I know him better, and the way he throws the football better than anybody, he and Pete Carmichael, so they know. And I say, hey, yeah, he's ready, and he feels ready. He's going to be honest with you and say, look, coach, I can go, or, hey, I feel 100% with this. It's not an issue. I'm not even thinking about my thumb. Then he plays. If not, then he says, hey, let me go out and try it. And if it feels good, great. If not, hey, let's have, Teddy have one more week. But I think that if Drew's ready to play, then you have to give it to him.
One thing, defining ready to play, that means not go out one series and try it. That means you can play the whole game, right?
Yeah, that they'll know that this week in practice, because if they gave him again, I'm speculating here because I didn't watch practice or anything, but I know that they'll find that out during the week. They'll throw him, put him through a number of different things during practice reps as usual to see if in fact he can, you know, execute the throws and the things that he needs to do as a quarterback at the way he's at the level he's used to doing it. So if he can't do it at that level that he's used to doing it, then he'll say, hey, I'm not ready yet.
Center to center, what about Eric McCoy?
Mm-hmm.
How you like his development?
Hey, terrific. He really has. He's really, really stepped it up, and is really, really playing well. There's times again, I'm pretty critical of all those guys when I'm watching them, but they're going to make mistakes and they're going to get beat. But at the same time, it's not. Eric's playing really, really well, and it's going to be fun to watch him continue to sort of climb up this. Development ladder, if you will. He's really, really doing well. And you can see each and every week he gets just a little bit more comfortable with what's going on out there. You know that he knows what's going on mentally. I don't see him make a lot of mental errors, which is something I could be pretty critical of. But at the same time, I don't see him making many of those. Yeah, he gets beat from time to time because he's going against really good players. But as far as where he's at as a rookie, he's doing great.
All right, before we let you go, real quick prediction time. What do you see?
Defensively, I'm talking about the Cardinals now. Mm-hmm. Especially in the center of the field, they have a problem. They can't stop anybody. And again, I'm saying this and I hope I'm not jinxing anybody, but they've got some tremendous players in certain positions. There's no question. But as far as being able to actively, I guess, try to shut down like a New Orleans offense at this juncture. And if it's hitting on all cylinders like we see it, I just don't see that happening. Now, I don't know it's going to be I don't think we're sitting in a situation where we're going to blow anybody out. I think Kyler Murray's a good enough player that he's going to be able to extend plays and obviously extend drives with his legs so that if we can pretty much keep him contained, it should be like a 10-point difference, yeah.
Steve, thank you for your time. I appreciate having you on every Friday. Have a good weekend, all right?
Have a great one, Tommy. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.